Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Today, the World Anti-Doping Agency's Executive Committee unanimously endorsed the recommendation made by our independent compliance review committee that the Russian Anti-Doping Agency be declared non-compliant with the World Anti-Doping Code for a period of 4 years. The consequences include the banning of Russia from the Olympics, Paralympics and World Championships run by all code signatories for 4 years, and the banning of Russia hosting any of these major events within that time frame.
That's World Anti-Doping Agency President Craig Reedy announcing a 4-year ban against Russia Monday in Lausanne, Switzerland. The decision covers the 2020 Tokyo Olympics, the 2022 Beijing Winter Olympics, and the 2022 Football World Cup in Qatar. WADA's executive committee took the decision after finding the Russians tampered with laboratory data by planting fake evidence and deleting files linked to positive doping tests. Russia's punishment leaves open the door for clean Russian athletes to compete at major international sporting events without their flag or anthem for the next 4 years, something they did at last year's Pyeongchang Winter Olympics. Once again, WADA President Craig Reedy.
This is a ban against Russia that protects the rights of Russian athletes by allowing re-entry for major events to those that are able to demonstrate that they are not implicated in any way by the non-compliance. The decision is designed to punish the guilty parties and send the message that it will not be tolerated. It stands strong against those who cheated the system while protecting those who did not.
Russia has been embroiled in doping scandals since a 2015 report commissioned by the World Anti-Doping Agency found evidence of mass doping in Russian sport.
For too long, Russian doping has detracted from clean sport. The blatant breach by the Russian authorities of Rusada's reinstatement conditions, approved by the Executive Committee in September 2018, demanded a robust response. Russia was afforded every opportunity to get its house in order and to rejoin the global anti-doping community for the good of its athletes and for the integrity of sport, but it chose instead a different route.
World Anti-Doping Agency President Craig Reedy speaking Monday in Lausanne, Switzerland. Samson Omale joins us now with a package of African football news. And Samson says he'll be kicking off with weekend CAF Confederation Cup results. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. Egyptian debutante Pyramid proved too strong for fellow group stage first-timers Nouadhibou of Mauritania, thrashing them 6-0 in the Cairo-based 30 June Stadium on Sunday night to go top of the 2019-2020 total CAF Confederations Cup Group A in grand style. The other Group A game saw Egyptian side Al Masry scoring twice in each half to record a 4-2 win at home to Nigeria's Enugu Rangers to make it 2 wins from 2 games in Group A. In Group B, last year's runners-up RS Berkane of Morocco drew 1-1 away to Zambian side Zanaco. Jibril Ouattara opened the scoring in the 15th minute, but Charles Zulu equalized 10 minutes later. Elsewhere, DR Congo's Mutema Pembe beat Benin FC Essiane. In Group C, Boubacar Talato netted the only goal as Malian side Joliba, runners-up in 2012, edged South Africa's Bidvest Wits in Bamako, while Guinean side side, Horoya AC, went top of the group after thumping Al-Nassr of Libya 3-0. In Nigeria, at the Enyimba International Stadium in Aba, Martins Usule scored the only goal as Nigerian champions Enyimba claimed its first win of the 2019-2020 CAF Confederations Cup after edging out San Pedro of Cote d'Ivoire 1-0 on Sunday. Staying with football news, East African Regional Football Cup competition CECAFA Senior Challenge is underway in Uganda. Host Ugandan Cranes opened their campaign with a slim 2-1 victory over Burundi. Ugandan Cranes coach is Jonathan McKinstry.
I also know how demanding the tournament can be. To make it all the way to the final involves 6 games in only 13 or 14 days. And so really you need players who are full of energy and full of just that robustness to make it through the tournament.
In other games, Somalia and Djibouti played to a goalless draw. Harambee Stars of Kenya, on the other hand, got their title defense off to a perfect start on Sunday with a 1-0 win over rivals Tanzania's Taifa Stars in Kampala. The victory saw Kenya go top of Group B with 3 points after Sudan and Zanzibar played out to a 1-1 draw in an earlier fixture at the Lugogo Stadium. Francis Kimazi is Harambee Stars coach.
Every team in the tournament wants to give its best, so we are the defending champion. We cannot take that for granted. You know, the other team worked so hard to achieve that, so we want to see if we can also work so hard and achieve something.
In women's football, the South African Football Association has announced they are no longer willing to pursue their bid to host the 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup, but will shift their focus to the 2027 edition. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In pro boxing, Anthony Joshua reclaimed the world heavyweight title over the weekend when he scored a unanimous decision victory against Andy Ruiz Jr. in Saudi Arabia. VOA's Gwen Uten has reaction from both fighters now. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Following his victory, Anthony Joshua tweeted this: strategy and loyalty. I'm not perfect, but I'm trying. Another defining moment for British boxing. Thank you to all my team, a night we will remember. And thank you, Ruiz Jr. We made history. And the two boxers did make history. Their rematch, dubbed the Clash on the Dunes, was the first ever World Heavyweight Championship fight to take place in the Middle East. And afterwards, the remarkably fresh-looking heavyweight champion told reporters, it's good when everything works out in the end.
You know, I just felt calm and comfortable, and we just flowed. We just boxed our way through each round, and Rob always tells me, even in sparring, just take it round by round. Just take it round by round. Don't worry about doing 12. Don't worry about doing 8. Just take it round by round, and it's a brilliant. It's brilliant when a plan comes together. Everything I've been taught has to be put in and showcased on one night, and you know, round by round, we won. And we led our way to victory, so everything worked out pretty well.
And Joshua was asked if the victory was satisfying despite not defeating Ruiz by a knockout.
It's nice to KO to KO. Like, there was times that I looked in Andy's eyes and I wanted to put my fist through his head. But then I thought to myself, this is boxing, you know. I need to win for myself. I need to show people that this is the sweet science of the sport as well. It's not like a script where they say Anthony's going to go. It's not wrestling. This is real life. And it's dangerous. So I have to box to my game plan. And my coaches, they devised a great strategy. And I trusted in them and I followed it through. So even though I took my loss, I took it like a man. I understood where I went wrong. And I keep on comparing it to an exam. When you take your exam, if you fail the first time, you study and you prepare better the next time. And I just knew with all of my preparation, my education, and discipline, I just knew I was going to pass this exam against Andy.
Going into the 12th and final round, Andy Ruiz Jr. needed a knockout to retain the heavyweight title, but that punch never came. Saturday's bout ended much differently for Ruiz than it did 6 months ago when he stopped the previously undefeated Joshua via knockout in the 7th round. And the contrast didn't stop there. The visual difference between the two fighters has been a talking point. Prior to their title rematch, Ruiz weighed in the heaviest he's been for a fight in a decade, and he says that was a mistake.
I was slimmer. I put on the weight, and it was my mistake, you know. And, you know, I think I felt too confident and all that, but I think I should have trained harder. I should have did and listened to my team and to my coaches. And, you know, nobody really knows about the training that we had, you know, but we did the best we can.
And Ruiz added his weight was not the only mistake he made going into the fight.
Then we started too late, and I don't want to say the 3 months of partying or of that I had celebrating and whatnot kind of affect me, because to tell you the truth, it kind of did. But what can I say? Just learn this mistake, and I'm glad I learned it now that I'm still young. You know, this is just the beginning for me, and there's a lot more fights coming soon.
Anthony Joshua, on the other hand, seemed to have learned from his past mistakes. Looking lighter than ever, Joshua dictated the pace of the fight from the very first round. And now, with a record of 23 wins and one defeat, he was asked what the chances are that he will fight the winner of the upcoming Tyson Fury-Deontay Wilder rematch.
I couldn't even tell you. The best thing would be to let them two just get on with their fight, and then I feel like once they're done, they'll have a bit more of a clue of what they want to do with their careers. And if we're in their plans, they know where to find us. We're taking on all challenges, and I'm feeling more and more confident as the months and weeks are going on.
Meanwhile, Ruiz has hinted at a possible three-peat with the newly crowned heavyweight champion, and Joshua seemed to be open to that suggestion. And we will keep you posted, sports fans. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. For more reaction to Anthony Joshua's victory, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the president of the Nigerian Boxing Board of Control, Rafael Oladipo.
First and foremost, I must thank God and I must congratulate Anthony Joshua. Anthony Olaseni Joshua. He is a Nigerian, he's our own man, even though he's fighting in the name of Britain. Ab initio is a Nigerian, he's from Sagamu. And I've gone to watch his fight in Wales. I've gone to watch his fight at the Wembley Stadium in London. And I told Nigerians how he must fight to win his fight. I was on telly, I was on radio, and I told him how he should fight. Because Andy Ruiz is a boxer, is a fighter, is a brawler. And if you want to fight a man like that, you, Anthony Joshua, you are a taller man and you have a longer reach. The very best way you can fight him is to fight him from the distance, fight him from the outside, jab him with your left, 1-2, and give him the right. And that's what he did throughout. And for me, I am so happy that he retained his belt. In the fourth fight, he made a mistake to have even submitted the four belts to Andy Ruiz, and he underrated him, believing that he could just beat him. But thank God, he listened to his corner, he used his brain, and it worked out. It was an overwhelming defeat for Andy Ruiz, in the sense that he had only one of the rounds. Out of the 12 rounds, he had only one. Perhaps two judges gave him two. One judge gave him one. So Anthony Joshua retained his title unanimously and overwhelmingly defeated Andy Ruiz. We are happy for him.
What do you think is the future of Anthony Joshua now that he has reclaimed his belt? Do you think he should go and fight Deontay Wilder?
Well, the future for him is bright. After all, if he had lost that fight, perhaps we might have called him to call it a day. But age is still on his side. He can still fight. He must go and rest for now. For the next 3 months, he should rest and then think of the next opponent. I don't think he should go and fight Deontay immediately. Let him rest and let him do another fight before he can meet Deontay.
Do you think Nigeria has many Anthony Joshuas in the making, many boxers who can rise and become Anthony Joshua one day?
Well, Nigeria has potentials in boxing. After all, since I became the president of the Nigerian Boxing Board of Control 2 years now, we have been able to put together 24 fights, different fights in Lagos, in Ibadan, in Ilorin, in Benin. And then we have seen some of the young ones who can become world champions, if not in the heavyweight class, but in other weight category. As of now, we are still looking for a heavyweight man that can actually walk and do like Joshua. But let me tell you, there's a guy called Efe Ajagba. Efe Ajagba is in the United States. He is doing so well. He has done 11 fights. He has won all his 11 fights. And I think he's our next future heavyweight class.
That's Rafael Oladipo, the president of the Nigerian Boxing Board of Control. He spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
Nnamdi, it seemed like AJ followed your game plan. Stick with the jab, bank those rounds. Easy, unanimous decision victory over Andy Ruiz Jr. Was this AJ's best performance of his career?
I will say this is number one. And then the second one will be Vladimir Klitschko when he took the title. This was a masterclass. He was able to box Ruiz's ears off. The best way to guarantee a win for 12 rounds. So I would say this one with Ruiz at the rematch, the best of his performance so far. And I'm saying it again, this is just the beginning. We are yet to see the best in AJ.
Nnamdi, you said before the fight how much AJ needed to change his style, make adjustments. It seemed like he really followed through.
You can quarrel with success, Sonny. Kudos to his team. I did not believe they would be able to do it in 6 months. They've had a game plan, and AJ followed the game plan. If you look at the fight closely, there were certain parts of the fight where he wanted to stand and mix it up with Ruiz. I was really worried about that. You know? In the fight game, you can make a very tough fight, a very easy fight. You look at him, look like he was just sparring, you know. Some boxing fans are used to seeing heavyweights bring the knockouts. And I said it before this fight. I said there will be no knockouts, there will be no knockdown, and it will be a boring fight for some people. But he did what he had to do to win. And that's what mattered, you know. He went back to England with $80 million and 3 belts. He got his belts back. That's what counts.
Nnamdi, you said this is probably AJ's best performance. What about his jab? Is that the best you've seen his jab?
The jab reminds me of Larry Holmes' jab. Go back and look at Larry Holmes' fight. The jab has always been the bread and butter. Without that jab, you couldn't do much. He had to use that jab to put Andy Ruiz off balance. Andy Ruiz just could not come in. Andy Ruiz could not set himself up. Andy Ruiz could not square off because there was nobody in front of him. And not only the jab, the footwork, the movement, you know, the movement, stick and move, stick and move. Sting like a bee, fly, oh, what do you call it? Muhammad Ali style, I call it Muhammad. This fight kind of takes you back to the fight Rumble in the Jungle in Africa. So, I mean, let's see, it had all the elements, all the styles there. There was no need to go there and bang with this guy and get knocked out and get your nose broken. No, keep it moving. Stick and move. Make it easy. Go home. The ones that don't like the fight, then go look for Deontay Wilder with his one-punch knockout, Sonny.
This might be the lightest we've seen AJ in his heavyweight career. He looked in great shape. cut. You could see his muscles popping out, whereas the former world heavyweight champion, Andy Ruiz, rather shameful, I think, Namdi, to make your first title defense and come in 16 pounds heavier than you did in the first fight.
Sonny, he said Friday morning when he got up, he got on the scale, he weighed 268 pounds. And, you know, for this fight in Saudi Arabia, the weigh-in was at 5 p.m. In America, when we have big fights, we weigh at 1 p.m. or 12 noon. So between 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. in Saudi Arabia, you were busy eating. So you went from 268 pounds to 283 pounds, just could not stay away from the kebabs, the lamb, the beefs, and all the couscous and all to drink. You just showed no discipline, lack of discipline. When you live in California, you live large if you have money. And this is a man that made $10 million for the first fight and then came back to California after the fight Saturday with $40 million. It may not be the drive for him to go up and get to the gym and train. He didn't train for 3 months, Sonny. He can't do that. Look, he was flat and he knew it that if he decides to cut off the ring, he will be tired for 12th round. So he will just follow in AJ, unable to cut off the ring. Carrying that weight will have get him knocked out in the last round, in the second part of the fight. So that's why he was unable to do the things he did in the past.
Namdi, I was reminded of Buster Douglas. He scored that big upset victory over Mike Tyson in Tokyo, and then he quickly lost his heavyweight crown. The same fate befalls Andy Ruiz Jr. He talked about maybe a trilogy against AJ. Do you see that happening, Namdi?
No way. The fight fans don't want to see that. Trilogy for what? If he went down like a true Mexican warrior, then we can say, let's see it again. Nobody's interested in the rubber match. You did not perform. You came and picked up the check for $40 million. Why should we give you another chance? No, you did not perform. Go back and train and get yourself in shape, and you still can be a force to be reckoned with. Will Tyson Fury, Wilder fight him? No, everybody will run away from him because he's still a dangerous man if he dedicates himself to the game. He can't come in 283 pounds on a Friday. Then that means Saturday night he would come into that ring 300 pounds, Sonny. That's insane.
Crazy, Namdi. Well, Namdi, with this big victory by AJ in Saudi Arabia, does he get your vote as the best heavyweight out there right now?
Right now, Sonny, pound for pound, Anthony Joshua is the grand poobah of boxing because, one, he's a global star. Anthony Joshua, number one. Deontay Wilder, number two. Tyson Fury, number three. Tyson Fury can box, but he has no punch. Deontay Wilder has that one punch, but you can box his ears off. And among these three, who has that global power, that global reach? It is Anthony Joshua. Even here in America, not everybody knows Deontay Wilder. Tyson Fury with mixed martial art and wrestling is all right. But a true global superstar is AJ Anthony Joshua.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Meanwhile, Namdi says he'll be packing his bags later this week for a trip to New York and a ringside seat for the Richard Comey Teofimo Lopez International Boxing Federation lightweight title fight. The Ghanaian Comey recently visited our Voice of America headquarters. He'll be making the second defense of his IBF lightweight title at Madison Square Garden in New York. Richard Comey has a professional record of 29 wins and 2 losses with 26 knockouts. The challenger, Lopez, is a Honduran-American who's undefeated with 14 consecutive victories. In pro basketball, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Los Angeles Lakers star. I'm not going to say LeBron. I'm going to say Anthony Davis. He was the high scorer on Sunday night in the NBA. 50 points for Anthony Davis as he powered the Lakers to a 142-125 win over the visiting Minnesota Timberwolves. It was a season high for Davis, and the Lakers improved to a league best 21-3, 21 wins and 3 losses for the Lakers. Anthony Davis was 20 of 29 from the field. He made all 10 of his free throws to go along with 7 rebounds and 6 assists. A powerhouse performance by Anthony Davis of the Los Angeles Lakers. And that wraps up the December 9th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, 2019 has been the year of Ghanaians in the diaspora returning to their roots in their West African homeland. The year of return on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
This is Science in a Minute.
Medical professionals have long recommended a healthy diet, exercise, and medications to patients who have high risk factors for maladies like heart disease, diabetes, or stroke. A new study from researchers at the University of California, San Diego, and the Salk Institute for Biological Studies provides evidence that a form of sporadic fasting called time-restricted eating helped improve the health of volunteer participants who had some or all of those risk factors. To follow a time-restricted eating program, you eat your entire daily intake of food over only a certain number of hours each day, and fasting for the remainder of the day. The researchers found that when their study volunteers limited their eating to 10 hours or less each day over a 12-week period, they lost weight, reduced abdominal fat, lowered their blood pressure and cholesterol, and were able to maintain stable blood sugar and insulin levels. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.